Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is here, and so are the critters. If critters are making themselves at home in your home, call Critter Control, serving the Pine Belt and Gulf Coast. They'll remove those pests and keep them out for good. Call Nathan at 601-467-9341. Critter Control. Get them out, keep them out.
What's up? Welcome in on this Thursday podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always appreciate you being here. Let me turn the brightness down a little bit. That might help some. I don't know. Glad that you guys are with me. I think I've told you about this before, but I got kind of freaked out a second ago. I'm willing to admit this. I know you're not here for this kind of stuff, but oh well, it just happened to me. So it is awfully quiet in the house right now. And I am sitting here, you know, getting everything ready to go live. And I hear screaming, or what I think is screaming. And I ignore it for a second, and then I hear it again. And so I get up and go outside because I want to investigate what's going on. This is why I'm 2 minutes late tonight, by the way. My neighbor, my next door neighbor, who I never see. I don't know what's going on. I never see him. But he has these things on the pillars of his front porch. And I might have told you guys about this before, but they are these red devices about this big, and they're motion activated. And sometimes, as I've learned, when cars go by or when people walk by, they go off. And what they're supposed to do is be like animal deterrent, I guess. And he's got four of them on each pillar. So one on each one. And they flash red lights when they're activated. And they make all kinds of noises, including human screams. I'm not kidding. So there's animal sounds and like dog barking and stuff like that that play on these little devices on his pillars. Also human screams. And so I guess a car drove by the wrong way and activated them, because they don't get activated every time when a car drives by, obviously, or I'd hear them. But they got activated, and these things are making human screaming sound, I guess, as animal deterrent. I don't know. Flashing red lights on his front porch. So I had to go investigate that, and I'm creeped out. But that's okay. I'm here. You're here. And I'm glad that you are here. So forgive me for being late. But four of them. Screaming like people, and the deer still walk in the yard, or at least mine. So they're not getting the deer out of his yard, I don't think, because they're just walking through mine. And you say they sound like a Halloween prop. They do sound like a Halloween prop, but you can find them online. Actually, that Amazon sells them. They are a real thing that I've looked up, and they make you think that. And it's women screaming too. So you makes you think that something crazy is going on. And it's not. It's just my neighbor trying to keep cats and deer and stuff out of his yard, I guess. So anyway, we're talking Ole Miss training camp tonight. What have we learned so far? Not particularly a whole lot, but there's a couple of things that stood out to me in the press conferences today, actually, that I found really interesting. So we'll talk about training camp, read some of your messages, and we will get out of here on this Thursday night. Working on the guest list for next Tuesday. Keith Carter will join us. Glenn Boyce is scheduled to join us as well. So not just from a football perspective, I've got an interview, unfortunately, and understandably, I say unfortunately, but totally understandably, the players can't just leave during training camp to come to the library to talk to us. So I'll be doing an interview with a player coming up tomorrow for Tuesday's show. As well. So building that guest list is going to be a lot of fun. I've got golf packages and hotel stays to give away. We've got red and blue Super Talk hats that we're giving out as well. So I hope to see you guys on Tuesday afternoon at the library, and we're going to have a good time, and I hope to see you there. So I've been working on that a little bit today. We'll have to work more on that tomorrow. We're going to have fun, and I hope I see you. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search the name and subscribe there. Wherever you get your podcast. Also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs in Saltillo, Mississippi. Summer is winding down. It is still technically summer, but it's winding down. And yes, we already have agreed on the Ring of Honor conversation. Ole Miss needs to get on that ASAP. But there is a Ring of Honor at Scruggs. And what that is great deals on America's tractor, the John Deere. They've got zero-turn mowers still for 0%. They've got 5-series tractors, compact tractors, commercial mowers, all for 0%, a Gator for 1.9%, and anything that you need. If you are doing home improvement, if you're doing yard work, if you're planning on going fishing, or anything in between for your house, your property, your hunting land, and everything in between, Scruggs has got you covered. When you go, tell them that it was me that sent you there. They will take care of you regardless, but they'll take care of you extra special if you tell them that it was me that sent you. Great people, great deals, great store at Scruggs just outside of Tupelo. And when you go, tell them it was me that sent you. So what have we learned from training camp? Not much. Media viewing has been next to nothing, and that is okay. I do think that everything that everybody else is saying about the defense, based on the people I've talked to, appears to be accurate. We will see what kind of overall defense by the end of the season and rankings and stuff like that they have. This would not be the first time that a side of the ball was hyped during camp and did not live up to the hype. But the hype, apparently, for the personnel that they have on this defense, it continues to flash and continues to shine. I do think offensively on the line of scrimmage, you heard it in the spring as well. We're not healthy enough there in the spring. You've heard Pete Golding talk publicly about, you know, the right tackle position being an area of concern, needing a player or two to start shedding some weight. I don't know if that they've been healthy enough to get the look that they are hoping for up front on offense, but long way to go. A lot of things still to work out, and football is a physical game after all. Offense, you know, big guys do get hurt sometimes, but I do think that the concerns on the offensive line so far in camp, Pete Golding's own words will tell you that at least one position that they really need some guys to step up and make that happen. They can, the talent ability's there, but I mean, all you have to do is listen to the head coach and he will tell you that, you know, they've had some health stuff that he has said. They've just, you know, that's one position that has not been perfect, at least so far during training camp and through spring practice as well. So keep an eye on that. Otherwise, Caleb Odom is somebody that not only did he meet with the media today, but there's a lot of conversation about him. He is one of the most, if not the most, interesting players on this roster. I think his talent ceiling is, as Michael Jordan once said, that the ceiling is the roof. The ceiling is the roof for Caleb Odom, and I'm so curious to see how John David Baker uses him, if he can get a little bit more consistent with his hands, because he's a physical freak. And in his press conference today, by the way, it seems like a really sharp young man anyway. I liked listening to him. He was thoughtful in his answers and was impressive in that setting. But he mentioned 12 personnel alongside Luke Haas. And I'm curious about that. Because something else that has been talked about with through spring and in training camp is the wide receiver position. You know, they love Deuce Alexander. They love Jonte Cook, Horatio Fields. But it is not a unit that has stolen the show, to put it mildly. I think there's a couple of guys that they expected a little bit more out of at this point, and they haven't gotten that yet. Maybe I'm wrong. You hope I am, but that's something to keep an eye on. But the use of 12 personnel, so two tight ends on the field at the same time, Caleb Odom said that today, and I'm curious to see how much they use that, how much they use Odom
you know, split out wide, kind of like an Evan Engram type role, maybe, because he did talk about how he's able to do it all, and they're working on him doing it all, lining up at true tight end, lining up out wide, and things in between. But the thing that stood out to me the most was the two of them on the field at the same time in the matchup nightmare that that can create when used correctly. John David Baker himself said that tight end, aside from quarterback, is probably the most important position, most demanded of position that he has in his offense. And those two guys do different things and they're capable. And having those two on the field at the same time, again, matchup nightmare issues, especially with whatever linebacker or safety is tasked with guarding Odom, with Jonte Cook and Deuce Alexander on the outside. That position room was really good last year with Daquan Wright. He's now gone, but I mean, man, it sounds like there's a chance that not only is it used a little bit more even than it was last year, but slightly differently as well. And there's a lot of demand on those two. And it's not just those two. They portaled into more as well. But I'm fascinated by how they use and what Caleb Odom's season looks like, because it sounds like that there's going to be more opportunities for him. And it sounds like there's going to be two tight ends on the field in this offense at the same time. Fascinated by that. Another thing we've heard, and that I think we've learned so far in training camp, we've talked about it this offseason, and then John David Baker said it very openly, that expect Kiwon Lacy to get fewer carries, but he said they might get similar touches. So not surprised that they're going to use him a little bit more in the passing game. That is one area that I think that last year they could have used him more and for whatever reason chose not to, for better or for worse, I don't know. But that's also something that, you know, Kiwon wants to show the NFL as well, that he can be a three down back. And I think the physical tools are there for him to become a three down back. But right now he hasn't shown that enough on tape. And I do think that, you know, John David Baker is not fibbing when he tells you that even if his carries are down, his touches might not be, because they're going to utilize him in that way. But another player I'm fascinated with, and he also spoke with the media today, was Mekhi Frazier. And one, I think that his story is a pretty interesting one. He was asked a lot today, and I saw Twitter kind of took exception to him being asked about Kiwon Lacy a lot. But I don't think it was out of bounds. He chose, as a guy that led a Big Ten team in rushing, like starter, he chose to go to Ole Miss knowing that Kiwon Lacy is there. And that's a major part of his story is, you know, not only, you know, why did you choose Ole Miss when he could have gone somewhere and been guaranteed a starting spot, basically, somewhere else. Could have done that. Maybe not in the SEC, but he could have done that. He could be a starting running back. He could be RB1 somewhere. And he chose to go to Ole Miss knowing that Kiwon Lacy was there. And in that conversation, he's, you know, talking about learning from Kiwon and complimenting him and having a role where all he cares about is helping the team and he doesn't care about numbers. And one, that's what leads to more questions about Kiwon, by the way, when the player himself, I don't think it was out of bounds. I think it's fine asking the backup running back about the first string running back. I think that's okay, especially when you get quality answers like the ones that he gave. And in this era, a starting running back in the Big Ten hits the portal, could have been a starter somewhere else, chose Ole Miss, knowing that Kiwon Lacy was there. It was fascinating and really cool to listen to a guy that is completely and totally willing and understanding about what his role will be. And, you know, when Kiwon goes, I think Frazier will have another year of eligibility, so he could be the guy next year. But it was a really good listen. And is he that guy? Because I do think Ole Miss, as I've told you guys many times before, would be really wise to reduce the workload on Kiwon Lacy. There, it's inexcusable to me that he is still getting carries late in games that they are dominating. And that's what happened last year. I just think that's inexcusable. And is Mekhi Frazier the guy that can give Ole Miss the opportunity to keep Kiwon Lacy's legs fresh? I don't know. So I'm paying close attention to him. And finally, defensive end. A lot of people are talking lately about Landon Barnes, the freshman, the consensus four-star freshman at defensive end. That is another position that I'm fascinated by. I don't know yet about guys like Purchase and Renaud, although I don't know if Renaud has been to this point what he could be. We'll see. But between Cam Franklin and Maldonado and Purchase and now apparently this freshman and Landon Barnes, that's a really interesting position. I've used that word a lot, and I don't like using the word interesting because, of course, you're interested. It's the football team. But what that rotation looks like, what kind of depth they have, because I think on the interior they have a metric ton of depth on this team. But at end, it's a lot of guys that have not done it at Ole Miss. It's Cam Franklin. I guess you want to put Perkins in that role, even though I guess he's more of an edge than a defensive end. But otherwise, it's a bunch of guys that haven't done it yet at Ole Miss. And so who's going to step up behind Cam Franklin to be a quality guy on the end? I don't know, but people keep talking about this freshman and that they're not going to be able to keep him off the field. And considering what they did in the portal at that spot, a true freshman coming in and taking snaps away from veteran players that were not cheap in the transfer portal is, I assume, a really welcome sign for you guys. So haven't learned much. Terez Davis was impressive in his media op. He gets bragged about by his coach very publicly. I do think that the offensive line is still a work in progress and an opportunity to be good, but something to still pay attention to or at least at the tackle position on the right side. Because when the head coach talks publicly the way he does about that specific position, you know, you should pay attention a little bit if nothing else. All right. Your comments here in just a second. This edition of the show is brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. 601-823-3500. That's the phone number, 601-823-3500 for auto, home, life, or business insurance. Anywhere in Mississippi, he's at Shelter, and he will take care of you. 601-823-3500. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day. Online banking platform is outstanding. Local loan servicing and decision-making and more. They make you their priority. It's in the name at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. ABSMS.com. Can you go on a tangent about the Jaden Daniels situation? You know, I will say, I think that it's odd all around. Promising a player in recruiting a number is, I know promises get made to players all the time. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I don't know, but you're guaranteeing a player a jersey number. But that's, you know, Brian Kelly's staff, supposedly. LSU got this letter on the 5th. The spokesman for Daniels mentioned the jersey number situation. It all seems so petty from the Daniels side. And I know there's people trying to draw the conclusions that LSU possibly leaked this to get. I don't know, but I understand that from Daniels's perspective, the other two Heisman Trophy winners at the school haven't had their jerseys worn. You have. That's upsetting. I understand that. I would have questions if I were him, privately. But I know he's making a lot of money now, and that's great. But there is such incredible value and legacy at a place. And you can capitalize on that, not just financially, but emotionally and beyond for the rest of your life. And that kind of connection can do so many things for you and your family. If you have children one day, it's not a bridge that you want to burn. And I'm just surprised that people around him, and I know that that's a weird situation in and of itself, are okay with issuing a cease and desist letter to your alma mater about your NIL rights when they don't, I mean, I guess they sell a vintage jersey and they might use his name in hype videos and stuff. But I mean, to be honest with you guys, I don't think any player should do something like this. It's a bad move. And I know I see your comments. You don't like what I'm saying right now, but there's other ways to go about this. And frankly, LSU doesn't need Jaden Daniels. They don't. He's one of their three Heisman Trophy winners, 33% of their Heisman Trophy winners. But he didn't win a championship. He had a memorable individual season, but not a memorable season. There have been other players at LSU that have accomplished more than him. You're not entitled to your jersey number forever, even if Joe Burrow has not had his jersey worn. And Joe Burrow won a national championship. He was the signal caller for possibly, I don't think they are, but people argue that that was the greatest team of all time. You're not on that level. And so now you are trying to remove yourself from that institution. They don't need you, but there might be a chance one day that you need them. Legacy matters a lot. And I think that this is a bizarre move, made at a weird time. And I think it's pretty obvious because in the ESPN story, a spokesman for him said that it was about the jersey number. Here, I'll read the quote again. But that's what they said here. Look, the statement from Daniels' spokesperson said, quote, "The Daniels family is deeply disappointed and feels profoundly disrespected by LSU's decision to give Jaden's number to another player." You're not entitled to that. It really just doesn't make sense to me. It is fascinating that drama just follows Lane Kiffin around. There will be more this offseason, because that's what happens. But in this case, I'm on LSU side here. Even if you guys disagree with me, if Ole Miss doesn't retire the jersey number one, and I know it's apples to oranges because LSU doesn't let people wear Burrow's jersey, but do you think AJ Brown has a right to send lawsuit letters to Ole Miss about about Deuce Alexander wearing jersey number one? No, that doesn't make sense to me. So I'm not super passionate about this, but I do think that whoever's advising Daniels is not looking long-term here. He already had a messy breakup from Arizona State. Now the breakup from LSU is getting messy. Legacy should matter to you. And even if you thought that you should get the same treatment as Burrow, it's okay that you didn't. You're not him, and that's okay. But anyway. Friend of yours took a $100 bet with someone that Shameless would be drafted before Lenora Sellers. I told him I wouldn't feel so confident with how the NFL drafts project quarterbacks, hoping for a Josh Allen. Yeah, and especially now that Sellers is about to run a system that is better for him. You're right. I mean, the things that would hold Trinidad back when it comes to the NFL would be age, and would be just, you know, he's not tall. And the NFL looks at that. I don't know if this is true or not. I'm not a football coach. I'm not going to act like one. But I do think from watching, it looks like his release point's a little bit higher. Hopefully that prevents him from getting balls batted down at the line of scrimmage a little bit more. But yeah, that would be the thing that's holding him back somewhat. I will say I did hear that when he was deciding whether or not to try to fight the NCAA or go to the NFL, some NFL teams told him that his lack of experience at this level would be something that would be used against him in another year of producing like that could dramatically change his stock. If he's able to do it, go do it again, it could change his stock. So we'll see. Brian Kelly did comment on the Daniels situation. I don't see why he'd have any reason to lie now. As for I didn't see what Kelly said, so tell me. As for Lane, let's be real. He's just going to go do whatever he can to keep his own players happy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, that's what you get with Lane Kiffin anyway. But he doesn't care about the history of LSU and preserving jersey numbers. That's not what you hired him to do, and he's not a person that cares about stuff like that. His job is to win right now and keep his current players happy, and history will either be handled by other people or it won't be handled at all. And as long as you're winning, nobody cares. But the second you start losing, when you stop making connections, they ship you right out of town. Oh, well. Just funny that Eli and family distanced themselves from Ole Miss when Kiffin arrived, and now JD and family doing the same at LSU after Kiffin arrived. I don't necessarily think those are the same thing. It's a bizarre deal, and maybe I'm waffling a little bit. I don't know. You guys probably want me to just, you know, rip LSU apart here, but the more I read about this, the more I think it's ridiculous. You are not entitled to your jersey being retired when it wasn't. You're just simply not entitled to that. And thinking that you are, even with the Burrow thing, is not something that you should deal with publicly like this. Don't think Lane is a guy who can make the situation any better. Well, I agree there. Yes, Billy Cannon did go to prison. I think he cast a Heisman vote from prison too. Was a great individual player, but he's only 3 years into the NFL now, starting this season. Exactly. What if they wanted to retire his jersey down the road? That's gone. And this idea, I'm seeing some people say, well, LSU should just pay him for his NIL rights. If a former Ole Miss player did this same thing, my response would be, Ole Miss just doesn't, they don't need them. There is not one player that makes a program. And I guess LSU was selling jerseys, but how much money do schools make off of former players anyway? It's really not that much. And so blowing up your legacy at a place because of a jersey number and thinking, anyway, I shouldn't be talking about this too much, but from what you've heard, JD was promised his number would not have been used again. But from who? Promise from who? Both sides are dumb. He is a baby, and it's also just a number. Retired numbers need to stop. Yeah, we talked about this last time. I agree. I because there are too many players that deserve it that won't get it, and it just creates a weird situation and Ring of Honor. Kelly said they didn't get any conversation back from Daniels on using five. Lane went ahead with the so-called recruiting promise. Oh. What a mess. I mean, just stupid. It's just stupid. That's the thing, though. It's just stupid and unnecessary. And this isn't going to be a thing that impacts winning and losing for LSU this year. But stupid and unnecessary is precisely what has prevented Lane Kiffin from going to where he thinks he belongs in coaching. Outside people can blame the jobs that he has had. Well, USC was on probation. He had a preseason team ranked number one in the country, right? You left Tennessee after 1 year. The Raiders were a mess because of the owner, and you just can't win at Ole Miss. That's what people say. But what prevented him from winning at the highest level? It wasn't Ole Miss. It was stupid and unnecessary. 2024 with Ulysses Bentley. Stupid and unnecessary. That whole season, the Kentucky game and all the stuff around it, stupid and unnecessary. He had an opportunity to win a championship this year. If he is the coach that people think that he is, right? That's what everybody says. Oh, Ole Miss is so much worse off without Lane Kiffin. Pete Golding got them to a game in the semifinal where the ball was in the air in the end zone to win the game. If Kiffin is just this unbelievable coach that Ole Miss is going to completely plummet off the face of the earth with, he could have won a championship with that team. His own words said he could. That they could have beaten Miami had he been on the sidelines. But stupid and unnecessary cost you the opportunity to go win a championship. This scenario is exactly why he has had the career that he has had. It just didn't make sense. All unnecessary drama, yeah. Shocked that Mr. Integrity Brian Kelly promised a jersey number he never intended just to secure a recruit. See, I don't even, like, do we know that that's what he, I don't know. It's just so stupid. I'm just so ready for football to start because I will say, though, the people that cover LSU for a living, man, there's always something, isn't there? And there's always something. You've got not paying contracts and that whole deal, and you've got the governor stepping in for the definitely not private equity situation, and there's just always something. Kim Mulkey, she just exists. You hire Will Wade in basketball. There's just always something that is just, you know, hey, just different. Since Lane is so bad, shouldn't you be happy to be rid of him? See, that's Shane, LSU fan, that's the thing that people are so incapable of having nuance. It's either black or white. And I don't know why we lost the ability in our discourse to have that he played or he coached great. Like, really good football coach. Did a lot of good things. And also, quite simply, prevented himself from taking a step further. All of those things can be true at the same time. But not at whatever. And people are just unwilling to understand that those two things, all of those things can be true all at the exact same time. I don't know why that's so difficult to understand. But did I watch the Raiders preseason game? No, to be honest with you, I did not. I did see that DeJon Stribling was having a good night for the 49ers, though. I did see that. Which is not surprising at all. It's more interesting that the wide receiver position at Ole Miss has been one that people are just assuming, and rightfully so, that you can lose one of those guys and replace one of and just bring back another one, and that has transcended coaches, which is the most interesting part. Same thing with the quarterback position. Those two positions at Ole Miss over the years are fascinating. And I keep using the words interesting and fascinating. I don't know why. But they are, because you have had a run of super high quality quarterback play, starting with Bo Wallace and from there. Bo Wallace, Chad Kelly, Jordan Ta'amu, Matt Corral, Jackson Dart, Trinidad Chambliss. I mean, even the Shea Patterson, John Rhys Plumlee deals, like, I mean, those guys ended up not working out, but it's not like they were pathetic, you know. They've had a really good run of of quarterbacks. And the same thing with wide receiver. You get Dante Moncrief early in the Freeze era. Then Treadwell comes in. And I mean, even guys like, you know, DeMaurier Stringfellow and that group and DK Metcalf and Elijah Moore. And you just, you keep adding, you lose and you add. And obviously Trinidad is still there, but here we are again, almost just assuming because of precedent. And again, it transcends coaches. It's three different coaches have had this result now with Ole Miss in the quarterback position and the wide receiver position, that we are all just in assumption that they're going to be really good at that spot. And it's, can they do it again? I think so. But out goes DeJean Stribling, who was really special by the end of last season. Trey Wallace, they got everything out of him that Penn State and Drew Aller couldn't. So, you know, those guys come in as one-year rentals, and boom, they were great. They move on. Deuce Alexander's still around, but you bring in Jonte Cook and Horatio Fields, and it would be an upset if they're not still good at wide receiver at this point. But that is the challenge, and that is a position I'm paying attention to. I don't necessarily think that they're super deep there right now anyway, but maybe that will come. But, I mean, I really do think that they've earned the benefit of the doubt there, because how could you argue against that, especially with what Deuce put on tape last year? Last season, Ole Miss ended the season with arguably the best wide receiver group in the country, or at least top three. I mean, between them and, I mean, Ohio State, Miami's was good. It certainly, I mean, conservatively in the top five, conservatively, they just keep churning them out. That's what that program does. I appreciate you guys being here. I will be back on Sunday. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your preseason football if you can, anyway. And I will talk to you guys on Sunday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.